The focus of Unit 7.2 is on the work process flowchart. At the end of this segment, you'll be able to construct a work process flowchart. Think about an everyday activity. You're sleeping peacefully, and your alarm clock rings to wake you up for work. You may not feel ready to get up and face the day, so you hit the snooze button to catch 5 more minutes of sleep. Of course, those 5 extra minutes pass very quickly, and your alarm clock rings again. So you climb out of bed and start your day. How would you depict these activities in a work process flowchart? This is a very simplistic work process flowchart of how I rise in the morning. When my bedside alarm rings, I have a decision to make. Am I ready to get up? And if I say no, which happens more often than I care to admit, I hit the snooze alarm and go back to sleep for 5 more minutes. If I say yes, I get out of bed and proceed with my day. Work process flowcharts are very useful in defining and analyzing processes. They help to clarify understanding of a process and communicate how the process works. They provide a step-by-step illustration of the process and how they help to identify areas for standardization or improvement. There are a wide variety of symbols that are used for flowcharting, but it's best to keep it simple. The 5 symbols depicted in this slide are those that are used most frequently. An elongated circle depicts the start of stop point of the process. A rectangle signifies actions or instructions. A diamond shows a point at which one must make a decision. And arrows are used to illustrate the flow of the process. Symbols used for more detailed flowcharts include those for documents, delays, connectors, or when a process has too many steps, you need to go to another page, so you use a connector to point to that page, databases, and clouds, which are used for note-taking. There are 2 broad types of workflow process charts. High-level process charts are limited to 6 to 12 steps and present a panoramic view of the process. High-level flowcharts show the major blocks of activity and are very useful in the beginning phases of a project. Detailed flowcharts, on the other hand, present a close-up, detailed view of process steps. These charts reveal the complexity of the process, indicating points of delay, unnecessary work, and duplication. These are useful once issues have been defined and changes are to be made to the process. Here are some tips from the IHI to achieve successful work process flowcharting. The IHI is the Institute of Healthcare Improvement. First, you need to get the right clinicians in the room, those that know the process best. You'll want to begin by defining the start and end points of the process. At first, you'll want to strive for a complete high-level picture, but you will then need to decide on the level of detail required. Next, you should help the clinicians brainstorm tasks and decisions made during the process. They will need to describe the process as it really exists, not as they wish it existed. You'll want to clearly define each step in sequence. Include problems that are frequently encountered in the process, as well as points of delay or process steps that do not add value. Make notes on unfamiliar steps, then go back and fill in further details. Once you have completed the process flowchart, assign action items to fill in unfamiliar steps, and to verify the accuracy of the chart. Nurses in a three-person rehabilitation office at a major academic medical center were concerned that processing rehabilitation admissions and case management had been cumbersome and redundant. When they analyzed the existing paper system, they found more than 300 data items used more than once throughout the departmental processes. They decided to use a simple timing trial based on selected segments of a workflow diagram. Workflow diagrams were created by defining four general processes: referral processing, admission processing, code processing, and discharge processing. Documenting each step and confirming their accuracy with the workgroup members. Here you see the very high-level processes they defined. They created detailed flowcharts for each one of these processes. Selected points on the workflow diagram were used to document the time involved in the processing of a referral request through admission. And they found that they could save 3 to 3.5 hours per case by revising the departmental database, decreasing work redundancy, and creating an electronic case file. Let's look at an emergency department example. Hummel, Evans, and Lee examined the role of workflow redesign to improve medication reconciliation at 4 Washington State Community Hospital emergency departments. Lean redesign methodology was used to map workflow processes during redesign workshops that were attended by emergency department staff. The core idea of lean thinking is to determine the value of a process by distinguishing value-added steps from those that do not add value, and by eliminating waste. A process, according to lean thinking, is a set of actions or steps, each of which must be accomplished properly in the proper sequence at the proper time to create value for a customer or a patient. In lean thinking, primary processes serve the external customer. In healthcare, this refers to patients and their families. Internal processes serve internal customers, or the physicians, staff, hospitals themselves, insurers, payers. Internal processes serve internal customers in support of the primary process. Primary processes are easier to see, but internal processes are needed to create value in the primary process. It's critically important that value be defined by the primary customer, the patient and family. A perfect process creates exactly the right value for the customer. In a perfect process, every step is valuable. That is, every step creates value for the patients and families. Each step is capable of producing a good result every time, is available to produce the desired output, not just the desired quality every time, is adequate in that it does not cause delay, is flexible, and is linked by continuous flow. Failure in any of these dimensions produces some type of waste. A perfect process not only creates value, but it is also satisfying for people to perform, managers to manage, and patients to experience. Getting back to our emergency department example, all 4 emergency departments participating in this project independently described current workflows for creating medication lists that were remarkably similar, with only minor variations. They developed a strategy for a future workflow that was designed to quickly get the percentage of patients who do not know their medications as low as possible, and then to standardize the process for gathering any remaining missing information. They were then able to devise enhancement ideas that included educating patients about bringing in an updated and complete medication list to each emergency department visit, giving patients additional time and resources to organize their medication information, identifying and flagging patients who have missing medication information, and reorganizing staff roles so that the large proportion of clerical duties associated with creating a patient medication list could be performed by lower-level clinical and clerical staff. Clinical work process diagrams differ among the various healthcare settings. Let's look at an example of a clinical workflow analysis in chronic disease management clinics. Understanding workflow, information flow, and provider needs in chronic disease care environments can contribute to developing strategies to maximize HIT use, to enable providers to take full advantage of the capabilities of HIT systems, and to support patients in managing chronic diseases. Anertl and colleagues conducted a study of three ambulatory clinics providing chronic disease care. They observed all aspects of care over 150 hours, including 157 patient-provider interactions. Their observations focused on interactions among people, processes, and technology. They collected data using direct observation and semi-structured interviews. And then they constructed models of workflow for each clinic, models of information flow for each clinic, and an in-depth description of work practices and the roles of health information technology in these clinics. The authors identified gaps between the existing HIT functionality and the needs of chronic disease providers, and developed guidelines for HIT design to support chronic disease care, including a recommendation to use modular design approaches to support disease-specific needs. Their study demonstrates the importance of evaluating workflow and information flow in HIT design and implementation. Observers remained in unobtrusive locations, watching computer use whenever possible, and recording detailed field notes to assess the function of technology. Those observed included clinical receptionists, dietitians, social workers, nurses, nurse practitioners, resident physicians, fellows, attending physicians. Notes included details such as use of EHR functions, comments from providers about the EHR, how different types of information were collected and recorded, transfer of information among different roles, and descriptions of handoffs and patient-provider interactions. As time allowed, the observers asked open-ended questions to clarify observations, such as about policies, procedures, or other potential influences on workflow. The researchers observed both routine and non-routine situations in clinical work areas, private offices, hallways, and in examination rooms during patient visits. Routine work activities observed included patient check-in, patient intake, examination, diagnostic tests, prescribing, patient education, checkout, handoffs between providers, and communication processes. Non-routine situations included patient emergencies, such as an extremely high blood glucose level in a patient with diabetes. The researcher also obtained blank copies of all paper artifacts used during patient care, such as laboratory testing order forms, provider data recording tools, and patient data forms. Overall pattern of work was summarized graphically in workflow diagrams. The workflow diagrams showed sequences and patterns of tasks in the clinics, as well as information modalities, telephone, paper, or computer, used to the specific work task. This is a modified example of the high-level clinical workflow process diagram developed for a diabetes clinic as a part of this study. Each step of the process is depicted by a box. Arrows connect the boxes to describe the sequence in which these actions occur. One starts with appointment preparation, proceeds to check-in, and then to patient intake, followed by a handoff from the nurse to the provider, who proceeds with workup and treatment. This is followed by making a follow-up appointment, RN counseling, lab work, and appointment completion. In between appointment completion and preparation for the next appointment are between appointment activities. Note that there are no decision points depicted in this workflow diagram, since the investigators were aiming for a very high-level workflow model. In summary, work process flowcharts are useful in defining and analyzing processes, understanding workflow, information flow, and clinician needs in healthcare environments can contribute to developing strategies to maximize HIT use and to enable clinicians to take full advantage of the capabilities of HIT systems. Lean thinking principles can be helpful in maintaining a patient-centered approach to workflow analysis. The key to success is to involve those people who know the process best.